Buckle up, Buttercup. Live from Gloucester, Massachusetts. Podcasting around the world.
Around the world.
You're listening to the Gloucestercast Podcast, a production of Joey Shimataro and Good Morning Gloucester Media. Kick back, relax, and enjoy the show with your host, Joey Shimataro, and his crew of merry castaways. No piping plovers will be intentionally harmed in the production of this podcast.
Good morning, Gloucester.
Hey.
This is a very, very special episode of Good Morning Gloucester, the Gloucestercast podcast. Chris Spittle is with us. He is the man behind Cape and Weather. He's going to be with us just in a few seconds. He's sharing the broadcast to his personal page, which is Cape and Weather, Facebook.com, Cape and Weather. And he is the go-to most, what's the word for, like, not
reliable.
Reliable, but not also like honest, like
Straightforward.
Straight shooter.
No bullshit.
Yeah.
No bullshit.
No drama,
no bullshit. I'm also joined by Jimmy Dalpiaz right here.
Good morning, Gloucester.
And there's Chris Spittle. He just joined us. And Pat Dalpiaz is manning the keyboard. She will be fielding our the questions from our viewers. And you, if you notice, they're twinning with the Cape Ann Weather hoodies. Chris, are those hoodies available for purchase?
I do have some. I think I got two left. I got two for somebody else. I do get batches of like 10, 12 in at a time. And I usually have a little contest. I think that's how Pat got hers, right? Yeah.
Oh, it was a contest. And so if people, where can people purchase those? The two that are remaining.
Well, I really haven't set anything up. There's no store. I was thinking of setting up the store on the Facebook page itself. Because it is a page, and that's all they do is push commerce on the page platform. So yeah. Thinking of doing that along with the hats or maybe some other kind of coffee mug or something like that.
But they, can they DM you on your Cape Ann Weather page?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So that's probably the move right there. My wife and my wife is extremely, extremely excited because she's one of your biggest fans and she's a weather nerd. That's my wife right there, Caitlin Shimataro. She's just chiming in.
Hey.
I know you have a tremendous following, and I think a lot of it has to do with that the way you present the weather is straightforward. Like, I think there are a lot of weather nerds that want to over-exaggerate the weather just to garner clicks and stuff like that.
To put it bluntly and generally,
100%.
That's probably why I stay off of Twitter much more now than I used to. It's because they're generally trying to garner, like you say, hits and retweets and popularity amongst strangers around the world. When I feel like that serving my community, I do it better on Facebook where I know a lot of the people.
Well, what really made me want to get you on was the respectability factor, because earlier in the week, you refused to put up a map. And you're like, we're not going to know anything really until late Thursday. And it just, it just clicked for me. I was like, you know what? Here's the guy. There are people that are like dying for this information. He's not going to just throw anything out there, hoping that it sticks against the wall. He's like, we're not, anybody that puts anything out right now is pretty much disingenuous because they really don't know, right?
Yeah.
The models and stuff like that.
Yeah. People are putting out 2 to 70.
Yeah.
Right there and said, wait, folks, I'll let you know.
Yeah. The models are, as it's called, deterministic guidance. They help you determine the outcome. You know, of course, where the finish line is. And when you get inside 84 hours or so, the short range models that refresh more rapidly and more accurately, they're called mesoscale, they bring it all together. They start bringing it into a focus where, you know, you got all these numbers and then they start getting closer and closer until you finally got that fine line, you know, like you do today. So I think keeping my dog busy here with biscuits.
Now, I'd also like to mention that if anybody has any specific questions for Chris, you can ask them. We're on Facebook Live right now. I think he shared it on his own page, which is Cape Ann Weather. If you're not following Cape Ann Weather on Facebook, you're doing yourself a disservice. But if you type in a question on the Good Morning Gloucester Facebook page, we will present it to him. We'll put it on the screen and present it to Chris, and we can try to answer your questions.
Yeah, well, he'll try.
Chris, why don't you give us a brief rundown, the overview, and then we'll drill down on some historic stuff.
Okay. I just want to make, first of all, one thing that I always have stressed. I'm not a meteorologist. I did not go to school for this. I just have 60 years of experience around here watching it. And then now with the interweb, being able to use all the tools they have and to share it is, you know, it's escalated it to a as much of a hobby as just a pure love for the weather and being able to communicate in a, I think, as you say, a prudent way without being dramatic. What we know now, right now, is as I was looking this morning, is it's obviously a blizzard warning is up, as people should have seen that by now, no matter where they get their weather. And blizzard warning covers wind, so there is no wind advisory or wind warning. So it is inclusive with the wind. And we're looking at probably 18 to 30 inches of snow over a 24-hour period from about 2 or 3 o'clock tonight a.m. to 2 or 3 Sunday morning, roughly a 24-hour event. And that's pretty impressive to get that much snow. There's a lot of moisture. A piece came from Utah and a piece came from Canada. They're merging off of Florida, tapping all that moisture down there and just going to funnel it right up into our area. And there's going to be a lot of banding with the snows. There's going to be select spots, like say from Newburyport to Georgetown or from Cape Ann down the coast of Boston, or more northerly maybe, that will get the highest amounts. I wouldn't be surprised to see 3 feet, to be honest with you. The winds are going to be one of the more crucial elements. So we're going to start out northeast at about 38. These are gusts. It's going to go north fairly quickly, though, and be mostly north over about 12 hours. And that's where we're going to get the gust to maybe 75. And then it's going to go northwest by Sunday morning. And we're going to be gusting 55. And it'll diminish after that as it goes into the daylight hours on Sunday. Temperature's only going to get to 26 at the highest point. So it's going to be all snow. The only thing with the snow here is we're surrounded by 45, 6 degree water right now. And I guess I must have said something wrong. we're going to get a little bit on the first half of the storm. The snow is going to be a little bit wet and pastier because it's coming off the water. As the storm goes on and it gets more cold air gets drawn in, it'll go back to fine stuff. The problem with that pastier stuff, it's going to stick to wires and tree limbs, and it's going to get blasted by the wind, and we're going to have outages. It's inevitable. We're going to have some pretty good pockets of outages around in that respect. And we're going to have wind chills below zero.
A heavy, wet snow in the beginning, pretty much what we're saying, and then it's going to be fluffier.
Yeah, I wouldn't say heavy, but it's the water content is going to be more than it would be just inland. See, that's where they'll get the higher amounts because the water content is less and it stacks up it stacks up easier. There's more air in between the flakes, and it just when the wetter stuff keeps compacting. So you could have the exact same amount of snow or moisture drop down through inland and get, say, 24 inches, and here we could get 18 because of that compression factor. Mm-hmm. But it's more the fact that it's going to stick to things, and with the winds, we're looking at some outages. Now, everybody's worried about the tides. The tide is at 8:04 tomorrow morning. Right now, it's at a 12.3 range. I think that might go up to about 13, but the storm won't have made an impact here yet with the wind, because the winds won't ramp up till 2, 3, 4 hours after that tide. So tomorrow morning's tide is probably safe. The evening tide is at 8:50, and that's right now at 11.3. I expect that to go to 12, and that could be, you can't see, there's 12.3 is noted, and the next tide after that is actually, you can see it's in the yellow, excuse me, and if I moused over it, it's 11.3. I expect that to be a 12-foot tide, and that actually is about the time that the wind starts shifting more to the northwest. So we're basically dodging a bullet at the time, the peak time of the storm, and the winds are going to be in the middle between the two high tide cycles. So we're actually dodging that bullet. But I still would expect to see, you know, the typical flooding, the Essex Causeway, Gloucester Causeway, the Gloucester Marshes, Hart Street. Somebody's concerned down there. So those are the key spots. The usual vulnerable spots that we see will still get the flooding.
Is there any room for with the winds? You were saying that we should see a certain wind speed or at a certain, I guess the tide, you were saying certain times, 8:04, we have a tide. Is there any room with the winds? Like you were saying, we should see this, we could see that. Is there room that it could move either way?
I don't, at this point, this short amount of time, I don't see that. I don't see that. I think we're at terminal velocity we're inside of one model that only refreshes every hour, and it goes refreshes every hour and only goes out, I think it's 18 hours. So that's showing basically that it's really going to start ramping up around high tide or after, and by that time, no water has been pushed in yet.
Right. So it's so the tide's running out. We're dodging a bullet in that respect.
Yeah, the tide's got to be running out as the winds are ramping up. Right. And then by the time they go around northwest, that's when the next tide comes in. But
that second tide, tomorrow night's tide is a lot lower to begin with. It's not as high of a starting tide.
Right. It's the numbers I gave you, I think, that run at 12.3. That's including the surge. That's including a surge. So that's not 12.3 plus. It is a new moon and another day or two, but it's not really astronomically high.
Okay. Pat, you want to go to back to that chart that you just put up?
The tide chart?
That tide one, yeah. Okay, now you were telling us right there on the 12.3, and that's roughly at 8:03 that you're saying. And you can see how the next couple of days is still pretty high and stuff. I'm going to ask you to take a look at and tell us a little bit why we have the Boston Historic Crest and the Gloucester. Explain that a little bit. That was really interesting when we were off air. You explained that. That was great.
Sure.
Share that.
This is the projected tides. For some reason, it's not showing the past tides, but the dead center is the current time when that shot was made. If you see, it says 12.3 between the orange and the red at the peak tide tomorrow morning. And if you look at the historic crests on the left side under Gloucester, that would bring it to the third highest tide recorded in Gloucester.
Oh yeah.
But yes. However, these numbers you can see are only in the last 10 years. They don't go back very far.
Right.
So what I did was include the Boston tides on the other side. And as you can see, this 12.3 tide would not even be in the top 10 under Boston, because the number 10 is 13.8. So a 12.3 tide isn't that significant historically for Boston, but in our in this past century, it would rank as number 3.
Right, right. And I see that in Boston, you did list, you know, so many people are talking about this. And even this morning, while we were getting ready, people were making phone calls and asking and comparing this storm to the 78 storm, or the one that was, I think it was 2014 or 15. You know, they're asking, is this going to be the same? Because I went through that one and I made this mistake, or I wasn't ready for this. So, yeah. You know, how can you relate to that? How do you answer some of that for some people?
Well, I did some comparisons with the blizzard of 78, the numbers I could find, and the expected numbers we're going to get from this storm as I see it right now. And the central pressure of the blizzard of 78 was 984 millibars. This storm's expected to be about 20 less than that, a stronger storm. The wind, top wind locally was 74 on Thatcher's during the blizzard of 78, that we're expecting gusts to 70 or over with this storm. The key point is the blizzard of 78 lasted 34 plus hours of the snow and the wind. This storm's only going to be 22, 24, maybe 26, and the wind's going to shift around. It's not going to be a steady wind, as we know, from the north all that time. It's going to go northwest on the back 2 or 3 hours, and it's going to be northeast on the first 2 or 3 hours before it goes to a steady north. So that's good.
We kind of. I think that's a point some people may not appreciate. You really have to think about that. The storm of 70, the blizzard of 78, it was sustained for how many days? In the same exact direction.
Well, pounding 33 hours.
33 hours.
Yeah.
So people can kind of visualize this. So my lobstermen, when they're planning to go fishing, if there's a northeast storm and it's like a, you know, like say we have a bad wind, a 35 mile an hour wind for one day, and then it's all northeast. And then the following day, it turns around the opposite direction.
Yeah.
It'll knock that sea down.
Yeah, sure.
And they may go fishing the following day.
Sure.
If it's northeast 35 today, and then tomorrow 20 miles an hour northeast or 15 miles an northeast, it's still going to be pretty rough because it didn't come from the opposite direction.
Right. Yeah, and that's what's going to happen with when the wind goes northwest here. It's going to knock down on that third tide Sunday morning. I don't even have that down because it's really negligible. It's not going to matter. It will be interesting, as I mentioned before, the New Lanesville seawall. That should hold up pretty good. I mean, it was flattened in 78. The pitches are just totally flattened, and then they shabbily, I'll put it, repaired it and put it back together again. Then over a course of a few more storms, it went right back until they finally did this really, really good-looking structure out there. I've been out there to look at it, and it's really the way it's contoured and everything. But you can't when it goes northwest. Now that's across Ipswich Bay, coming from say Ipswich, Cranes Beach, that area. There's no real open area, and it's not the open sea. You're just trying to it's just going to pick up across Ipswich Bay and do what it does with that short amount of time or distance.
Right. So you think that, but it'll be a test though. It'll be interesting.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if it loses any teeth. That's what we always say about the Rockport Breakwater.
Are you ready for any of the maps, Chris?
Yeah, we already went over the tide chart there. I think I kind of went over everything I was going to say on the other chart anyway.
Let's put it up anyway. Yeah.
So there the primary winds are north, 45 gusting to 70 through about 10 tomorrow morning till about 8 tomorrow night, and then they'll swing into the northwest. They will start off northeast tomorrow morning, but not for very long. You see the water temperature is 43, so any snow comes in onto the island or even into West Gloucester will be a little bit more pasty than the dry stuff further inland. Of course, there's a blizzard warning out, the coastal issues I just talked about with that tide chart, the times there, And again, the peak is going to be in between those two tides. And for mariners,
Can you speak to, you can take that chart down. Can you speak to the, so there are only so many crews for the power crews that work, that get dispatched, right?
Yeah.
How big of a swath is this going to affect? And do you think, and another point that I don't know if you said this or someone else said this, that they are not allowed to work on power lines over 35 miles an hour wind.
I did post that. Actually, it was a repost of something. And matter of fact, on my page, I have a couple of linemen that follow me. And basically, I guess I'm working this weekend. So, but yeah, they cannot go up in those buckets when it's 35 miles or more, the wind speed. So, you know, if your power goes out at noon tomorrow, they probably can't even start working on it until midnight. So this isn't going to be, and it's not just going to be one. There's going to be tons of these, you know. So I would imagine that there's just going to be a bunch of small ones. And I don't know that much about the grid, but it seems to me that when we get a storm like this, we get a bunch of small ones, then suddenly a big area goes out, gets overloaded. That's my assumption. I don't know anything about how the grid works, but that's the way it seems as I've watched them, that that it happens.
So geographically, what area is, like, from how far north to how far south is like the major impact for this storm?
On
not just Cape Ann, I'm saying New England wise.
Oh, the blizzard warning is all of Eastern Mass, and it's going to run up. They're going to get the same conditions we're going to see in New Hampshire and Maine. But then again, they don't have north-facing coastlines.
Right.
Their thing will mainly be the wind and the snow causing their issues. Not
it's
so
just
much
because we stick out. Northern end of Rockport is really going to get hammered, right?
Yeah. Andrews Point was a vulnerable spot in the blizzard of 78. There were two houses out there. I had a picture of one I had posted a couple days ago. That it took out the first floor and the roof just came down with the dormers on top of it. And right next to it was a stone house. And the stone house looked like it didn't have a scratch on it, you know? So, I mean, and those ledges, you see them from the boat, you see them from the shore. There's ledges of granite that just slide off, like at Halibut Point. Of course, there's nothing over there to really hit. But same thing with Andrews Point, and I think it's called a Cathedral or whatever.
Cathedral Ledge.
Over near the Ralph Waldo Emerson, those are the places where the water can really run up and slide on that because it's not like a breakwater and it's not porous with large rocks. It's just flat stone, so the water just runs right up it.
Wow, that's amazing. If anybody has any questions, type in the questions for Chris. Is there anything that anybody asking specific
just
questions?
How do captains keep their boats safe in harbor?
Well, they lash line, you know,
I don't
as
know
many
if that's
line.
Weather, really weather
that's
related,
not really weather related, but that they just, you know, I think this has been forecast for a while. So any captain that doesn't have multiple lines on their boats today is pretty much just being negligent. I don't see that. You know, the thing that's nice for where we are on the opposite, on the bottom end of bottom side of
Matrix
of Mount Pleasant here is we're down below and Northeast kind of goes over us. And northerly, like Rockport's going to take more of a brunt than what we're going to take. But still, the winds, the sustained winds, I have to think that the power outages are the main that. And so there'll be some coastal flooding, but not nearly what it could have been.
You know, a lot of stuff, a lot of the infrastructure, whatever you want to call it, the seawall at Langille, the seawall at Pigeon Cove, the breakwater at Rockport Harbor, they've all been fortified through storm damage. That's one thing. And another is, you know, a couple of the houses that have been taken out were taken out, like in the perfect storm out at the end of Bass Rocks, where that sharp corner is before you go down to Niles. There was a house there that got totally undermined. They put a big seawall up right in front of it when they rebuilt it. So there's a lot of fortification that's gone on over the years from the storms to make things you know, less prone to damage.
You did mention too that there's going to be erosion. It's going to happen.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And you mentioned Wingashique and a few others. And
yeah, it's yeah, Wingashique, Coffins Beach. I post the front beach cam at the Captain's Bounty, and it looks right down on the beach and out to Sandy Bay. And I've never seen so many rocks exposed. Usually it's all sand. Now this happens every winter, and in the spring it comes back. It just gets fed back in. But that just goes to show you that the waves are gonna, I'll be interested if anybody takes any pictures on that seawall, any of that cupping from the end of Bearskin Neck into downtown Rockport and around the back beach. That's gonna be like a funnel area, and some of them are just straight walls. And in the past, the water hits the wall and it has nowhere to go but up. Oh, it's like wow. That Winthrop seawall that everybody takes those dramatic, well, the water's got to go somewhere, so it goes up. And it rips the shingles off of those houses that are right on the edge.
Oh, wow.
So, you know what I mean? There were pictures after a nor'easter, I don't even know what year it was, that had the whole side was right down to that foil, mylar, moisture barrier stuff. All the shingles were gone. So,
my goodness.
So, you know, each storm's different. That's what I love about it. Each one is different. No two are the same. That's for damn sure.
This particular storm, I am on Twitter, and you know those weather guys were wetting themselves all week long, and it from say Monday to now, nothing has kind of. There was a little blip yesterday, wasn't there? Like on one of the maps where there was a blip where there was a chance of it.
Going yeah. Up. Once one of the shorter term models is called the NAM, North American, whatever. And that came into reach. In other words, it goes out to 84 hours. So once we got within 84 hours of tomorrow, its first run said, "You guys are all wrong. I'm going way out to sea." Everybody goes, ah! And the NAM on its first three runs shouldn't be looked at, you know. And then they're going, oh, the GFS went 50 miles in, and now it went back out, and it went back. It's really comical watching the guys on Twitter just talk. I just sit back and I read some of these, and I'm, you know, they call them snow weenies and all this other, but they're either jealous. They're either jealous of people getting more snow than they're going to get, or they're just...
Interesting thing for me, because I don't know the terms, the acronyms and stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm reading it, and they're like, oh, damn, it's not going to be good. And then they're like, oh, this is great. And I'm like, what does that mean? Like, are you happy? Like, you know, they're like, it's not going to be good in a way. What is it weakening? And so you're not... Or is it, so you're like, this is not good, but it's weakening. So that's your definition of not good, because they want this.
Yeah. You know, yeah.
Is it Jim Cantor, Jim Cantorni worthy? That's the way they're looking.
Yeah. Yeah. The big question is, where's he going to be? And they were trying to lure him up here. I saw a couple people. He just said Boston, which means he'll probably go to Scituate. They all go to Scituate.
Yeah. Oh, I see. Yeah.
You know,
so what are the notoriously on a northerly storm, where are the spots in Massachusetts that get smoked?
We haven't had many. Everything it's usually been nor'easters. You know, I didn't mention the benchmark, but this is a classic benchmark storm where the center goes over the 40-70 meridian south of Chatham, due east of New Jersey. And that's where it's far enough away to give us all snow, but not so far that we're out of the snow. Because if it goes inside too much the benchmark, then we got too much warm air and it's rain, and then inland they have snow. So it's like a band. It's like the storm goes. I can't do it mirror way, but. But it's a classic. Take that. Gain about
bag.
Diane's not going to recognize her. She's going to be so fat. Big belly there. But the prime benchmark, it's like it's just that. Just something to look at where the storms track when they go northeast. And again, the winds are going to be north. You would think that a storm going northeast, that curling around, the winds would be at that angle northeast, but they're going to be more north. Because the storm's somewhat elongated. See, now that's showing northeast winds, basically, if you look at those.
Yeah, but is that the benchmark?
That's it. Yeah, that is the pretty close to it. Yep. Yeah. I think I used it for that, didn't I?
You see
my graphic?
Right, yeah.
It's all public domain. But see, that's already showing it at 976 millibars. Remember I mentioned that the blizzard 78 was 984.
So wait, say it again,
right,
Chris?
See, it says 976 millibars?
Yep.
The perfect storm was 984.
So this is
a stronger, tighter storm. Wow. It doesn't surprise me. Storms are going to be more intense now. You know, the extremes are just getting, you just got to see what it's doing everywhere, these storms everywhere. You know, some of it's that the media covers everything now, so you hear about everything that you didn't hear about a few years ago.
Right.
So that's not really a good way to look at it. But it just seems like this will be, if this pans out, which it probably will be probably the top three that I've seen. I mean, I lived through the blizzard of 78 in downtown Gloucester. And I lived through the perfect storm in downtown Rockport. And
top three.
Yeah, it's pretty, I would say. Granted, I was in New Hampshire for 4 years and during 2015. And that was mostly just snow. I don't think there was much as far as wind and coastal damage. But I wasn't here. I really was out of the loop, so to speak. Mm-hmm. But yeah, the blizzard of 78 is I think the one that everybody compares it to.
That was the granddaddy for as far as I'm concerned. Yeah, like those photos of the car stranded on 128.
Yeah, think about technology though. Then flat tires, bias ply tires with just four rear wheel drive. I mean, now we got these monster. Urban assault vehicles, I mean SUVs, that have four-wheel drive and tires the size of the Hindenburg. So, you know, it's a lot harder to, you know, but it only takes one accident.
Right.
It doesn't matter what you're driving if you can't get around it.
That Virginia deal a couple of weeks ago, that was something.
Yeah.
They had, and, you know, it's funny, I'm taking my daughter to Charleston in a couple of weeks to look at some schools down there. And I was looking at a video of one of the students made of, you know, the pros and cons of this particular school down in South Carolina. And they said that they get an incredible amount of days off for snow days and hurricane days. And I thought it was interesting, snow days, but because they have virtually zero snow removal equipment, any threat of snow, they cancel school. They probably get more snow days off than we do here.
Yeah.
And that's what the students are
saying. Yeah, because they get paralyzed easier.
Right.
I'll say one thing, though, too, about that, whether it's down there or up here, is people have heard so many forecasts that don't pan out. And had a few comments on my, you know, on my post saying, no, they told us last week or 2 weeks ago, and we only get this. And well, yeah, you got that there, but 20 miles away, they got 10 inches of snow, which was forecast. So,
you know, Chris, I'm not asking you to look in your crystal ball or anything else, but how are you predicting our winter? What are you kind of saying?
I don't do that. I don't do it. I take it as it comes. If it's the flag that says, you know, you'll see somebody post a 384-hour map or whatever the GFS reach is. And, you know, I'll look at it once a day for a week before it's either, this is interesting, or why am I wasting my time?
Right.
So I really don't go. I do get kind of a kick out of the TV shows, the Boston media, the weather departments all have their half-hour special show every fall predicting what it's going to do in February. And people say, well, geez, I mean, you couldn't do last week, or you couldn't do, you know, 5 days out last week. Are you going to? Basically, though, it's temperature, and what they're looking at more is upper level movement of oscillation of the atmosphere over the pole, you know, over the Arctic, and kind of figuring out what the patterns would be. That's above and beyond me. As I said, I'm not a meteorologist.
I find it interesting when they have these 10-day forecasts and. Like when we say we're going to go on a trip to Florida or something like that, and someone I may or may not know through marriage mentions the 10-day, you know, what it's going to be 10 days from now, and I'm like, no, can't do it. Julia Jui Khan says, Chris gives the most accurate forecast for our area. Thank you for your work. A lot of people chiming in. There's my wife. I guess she is watching.
She is listening.
Yeah. She goes, yep, that's me. I'll go on, but who's that with her? She loves that 10-day forecast. No, she's fantastic. Chris, no, it's interesting because, you know, if you, even the big television guys, like the Matt Noyes and stuff like that, what a job it is for them. Like, how do you please this forecast for us on Cape Ann weather, Chris Biddle, there's not, in Worcester is two different things. Like that's why we're so blessed to have Chris and his service, free service that he does. You know, if he has in the future, if he has hats or he has sweatshirts, purchase them because support the cause, because he's doing God's work here. Like it is, in relation to what is going to happen in our community, not what's happening in what's not a, like a generic thing, a statement for all of Massachusetts and New Hampshire and Southern, you know, in Connecticut.
And he certainly needs a GoFundMe page to replace those dog bones because he's just throwing them left and right here.
I still got a few left. Smell horrible. but you know, the other thing, I don't even cover Western Essex County, just Eastern Essex County, because that's the National Weather Service zone for Cape Ann. It includes anywhere from Newburyport and Amesbury down through us into Georgetown, you know, Hamilton, and down to Lynn and Saugus. And I do that because their forecasts are based on that whole zone, not just Cape Ann. I kind of finalize it for Cape Ann. But I have Topsfield is not in Eastern Essex County. They're the first town in Weston. And they're, well, why don't you ever mention Topsfield? I said, well, my coverage area is this. But yeah, I mean, the media has to cover a billion square miles. They're doing all of New England or all of Mass and Rhode Island, Connecticut, Maine, you know, whatever. And I suppose you have to be right somewhere when you're doing a large area like that. But, you know, I like the microclimate of Cape Ann. And a specific example was, I think it was in November 2018, we got 4, 5, 6 inches of really wet snow in Lanesville on the back spine of the island. And I lived in downtown Gloucester at the time, and there was nothing. It was a little bit of slush.
Right.
And I jumped on Scotty Pantage's cater bus to go to Rockport. And we went through this winter wonderland over in Lanesville and Bayview and all that. I'm like, wow, that's, I mean, just a 5, 6, 7 mile difference. You go from 4 or 5 inches to nothing. So I like that microclimate. It has a lot to do with the water temperature and the wind direction.
Yeah. Another thing is in the spring, in the early summer, when our water temperature is cooler, and you can be in Topsfield and it'd be say 70 degrees, and Gloucester may be, you know, 60, and then in the opposite side of it, when the water temperature warms up late in the fall, Gloucester may be like 7 or 8 degrees warmer, because we have the ocean air around us and stuff like that.
Yeah. The again, the water temperature makes it a really unique area.
That's okay. Don't worry about the dog.
I know. As long as nobody knocks on the door, then she'll go haywire.
All right. Well, Chris, thank you so much. So I want to make sure we got the link up there.
I just got a couple of notes here. I want to mention that, of course, you should get what you need today. Charge everything up. You get these little power blocks. They look like a cell phone, but they're blank, and you can power them up. I got three of them here from Walgreens, and I can charge my phone three times from each one. So I got 9 full charges of phone on those 3 blocks. If you got a hydrant anywhere near your house, go out and dig it out when you can. And basically, in your basic shoveling, you should go out there and do it every 2-3 hours tomorrow. You don't want to do 2 feet of snow all at once. Okay. So you keep up with it, you'll be all right. Power goes out. You gotta realize too that if there's any type of emergency needs, that it could be difficult to go down certain streets and areas. I mean, you gotta respect the parking bans, and again, keep ahead of the game by shoveling. Often you'll save yourself a lot. You might say, "Well, I'm doing it 4 times instead of once." Well, in the end, you'll thank the fact that you did it 4 times because you didn't really do as much work. But some people do not have that luxury of physicality or a generator as I have, or a brand new cord of kiln drying wood as I have, which I just got. So they don't have that luxury. So losing power, I mean, the wind chill is going to be pretty cold tomorrow and tomorrow night. So with the linemen not being able to get up in the buckets, it could be a day or so. We had a day or so, what was it? I don't even remember. In November, was it? We had a storm where we had pretty good outages. And there were people a few days that went a few days without it. And it wasn't that cold. So this makes it more extreme.
Yeah.
So, but I thank you very much for having me on, guys. I really appreciate it.
It's one of those things where it's mutually beneficial, but also for the viewers are the winners here, because I think a lot of people know about you already, but if we can introduce you to a wider audience and your services that you provide, I think that's what's always in our best interest, is to provide our viewers with the best, and you're the best in the area. It goes both ways.
Yep. All righty. So,
thanks again, Chris. And have a great day. And, tomorrow, if you're bored, maybe I'll check in with you tomorrow. Maybe we'll ramp it up again.
Okay. Sure enough. I'm not going anywhere. go. I hope nobody else is either, if they don't have to.
Thanks so much, Chris.
All right. Cheers, guys. Bye.
He's a great guest.
Yeah.
Very knowledgeable.
It was a great idea to have him on and just he tell it like it is, like you were saying. And he was giving the information out, and I'm sure people got a lot of it.
Well, what happened was it clicked for me when he, earlier in the week, when he said, I'm not putting out a map, because we don't know, basically he was saying, anybody puts these maps up before Thursday, and I was anxiously awaiting his map, and I was like, why don't we just have him on, because he can share this to his page. We can put it on Good Morning Gloucester. People can learn about him. It's one of those, you know how we like, what I always say, whenever there's a win-win-win, that's what we like to get after. And this is a win-win-win.
You know, and I love the fact, too, that he said, look, they one model, they come out every 12 or 16 hours. And he says, folks, this one came out. It hasn't changed. It's coming. And I like that he said, here it is. And that's what we need.
I think there was a couple points that I took out of it big time. The one was the dodging the bullet with the tides. The big tide that we're going to have is tomorrow morning, but the storm wouldn't have been ramped up by then. Number two, the amount of snow is enormous snow. And then number three, he said this top 3 storm of his time thing there.
That's impressive.
that's kind of scary, but it's, you know, it's all kind of like my mind. I think a lot of people's minds are just like going like this, but preparation is key.
Yeah.
Like everybody charge up those things, get your firewood in, make sure it's dry.
And I'd like to, my favorite brother-in-law suggests that everybody make sure that their furnace vents are clear.
Oh, okay.
That's a big one that sometimes people forget.
Yeah.
Big safety thing.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of snow coming.
And if you have a storm drain near your house, if you can clear the storm drains, it makes things, and I read this, I think it was the Gloucester DPW. If you, even if it's just a shovel width, that'll help the water drain quite a bit.
Yeah, I love the DPWs out there. They're planning. I could see for days now. They're getting things ready and ramped up for it. And then, you know, that's kudos. You know, I just love the planning that's in the city. New here all the time now. I'm seeing all these great things that people are doing and for Gloucester. And keep it up, you know, Gloucester. Doing great work.
All right. Well, I'll check in with Chris later on today.
Okay.
And we will maybe potentially tomorrow at some point, if we have power.
I mean,
if we have power, we'll try to check in with him again. So stay tuned. Follow Cape Ann Weather on Facebook. Good Morning Gloucester. I'm sure that by the way, for our viewers, send in your storm photos. I mean, because we're not going to be doing a whole, other than shoveling tomorrow, we're going to be looking for stuff to do.
Don't risk your neck, but to share, please share it.
Yeah. Please share it, and we'll post it and give you credit for that. So Brenda Shockey-Lay says, don't forget to shovel out your hydrants. Should I do a little rundown? I'll do a little rundown.
Sure, and I saw that somebody was saying, don't forget to stock up on your whiskey and whatever you need.
Joe Higgins.
And Ed Collard, that was it. And Ed Collard made his suggestion to him. Thanks, Ed.
Kathy Barlow, my beautiful wife, Kate, my mom, Robert Annette Spanks, the swingers from the Villages down in Florida, Jill Boulay, Don Pierce, Brenda Grimes Davis, Joe Higgins, Ed Collard, Ryan Hussey, Cynthia Meinhardt Van Noose, Sandy Noble, Wes Thibodeau, Mike Coderre, Mary McLeod Tucker, Annie Roshan, Eric Berkender, Cynthia, we already said her, Pam Tuffley, Julia Ju Wee Khan, Sale Anyeho Berkey, Susan Gold Coviello, anybody we're missing? I think that was everybody. Thank you for joining us. We will be, we'll probably try to put something together tomorrow as long as we have power. Everybody stay safe. Thanks for joining us and have a great day.
Stay safe, guys.
Give us this one. Little town with big news, 411, come get the scoop. Wake up with Joe and the rest of his crew. It's Good Morning Gloucester to you. Oh, it's Good Morning Gloucester to you. I say Good Morning Gloucester to you.
Good morning, Gloucester, from over the bridge.